Morning.
Morning.
Yeah, well, let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 9.
Jeremiah chapter 9. I haven't forgot that we're in Genesis. I got a lot of notes on a message. I ain't got a message yet. There's a difference between having something that looks like food and something that is food. You'll wait till that thing bakes. It's going to be a while. But I saw this in Jeremiah as we were studying last week, and I couldn't get away from it. I thought it would do us good to see it. Jeremiah chapter 9. I'm going to quote Paul a lot in 1 Corinthians. I believe whenever, just what came to mind to me, whenever he wrote that letter, the first letter to the church at Corinth, I believe he had Jeremiah 9. He just laid it down. He might have read through it that morning. And then he thought, I'll write a letter to the church at Corinth. I think that was fresh in his heart. I want to look at two verses here. It's one paragraph. It happens to be two verses broke down for us. Jeremiah 9, verse 23. Jeremiah 9, verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. What a wonderful statement. The Lord tells us, gives us instruction in one verse, tells us why, tells us what to glory in, and then he tells us what he delights in. Two verses make up one paragraph, and that's a thought that stands alone. There's a colon at the end of verse 23. That means what follows it will give us a better understanding of what was just said. It's going to list it for us. What is this statement? What's the instruction we're given? What's all mankind given? This is an open call to all mankind. Verse 23, thus saith the Lord. We're in Jeremiah 9, verse 23. Thus saith the Lord. Would it do us any good at all to hear what the Lord has to say? You think that'd suit us? How many times have we read what God says, the Lord says, and then, I just think, I just feel. I wish I could read what God says, bow to it, and do it. That's what I wish. I pray the Lord would enable me to do that. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. This was a long time ago. Do you know that? This was thousands of years ago, 1,600 years ago. Jeremiah wrote this. Is there anything different in our day that was different in Jeremiah's day? There are three things that mankind is very interested in, isn't it? All three are means to put ourselves above another. Make this little worm right here just a little higher on the dung hill than another worm. This is what we're interested in. Wisdom. Wisdom. Our wisdom. I know something you don't. Knowledge. Knowledge. Do you know something? People say, I never knew that. You know it now. Knowledge puffeth up, doesn't it? I know something. I know something you don't. That gives me an advantage over someone. The wisdom to get ahead. To beat someone to the punch. I got there first. I figured it out first. That was me and a boy. We got the same grade on tests in grade school. And we both got hundreds on them in math class. But then it was a competition. Who could finish fastest? It took you 30 minutes. I did it in 29. Because I had the wisdom to get there quickest? Wisdom. Might. Strength, yeah. Health, yes. Oh, look how healthy somebody is. Look how mighty they are. They can pick up heavy things and put heavy things down. But also in power, isn't it? Might and position. Those that are wise, those that are in power. The kingmakers. You run that by me first? Is that mighty? I don't sound it. Nobody checked with me before that happened. That could be said real calm and patient, isn't it? There's positions we have, but boy, how we desire those positions, don't we? Riches, wealth and money. Yeah, we know what that is. Filthy lucre is what it is. But also rich in children. Maybe we have a bunch of kids. Maybe we have good children. They're obedient. They are seen and not heard. Children are to be seen and not heard. Mine are seen and not heard. I'm rich. Look what I have. Isn't that glory in that? What about friends? Some people have a whole lot of friends. Some people don't have friends, and they get upset over not having friends. What's God say? You want to have a bunch of friends? Be friendly. Well, I don't. Hush and do what God says. Do what the Lord says. He spoke it. You want to have a bunch of friends? Be friendly. Some people have great experiences. They've been around the world. They've seen things and watched volcanoes erupt, and they've had all these grand experiences. Some people have an abundance of fruit trees. I hope to have fruit trees here in a couple of years. We worked hard. I'm going to bring a message on planting trees. Me and Matt worked a long time the other day, and I was seeking counsel from half of you how to get these trees in the ground. We're planted by still waters, all the labor that the Lord put in to planting us by His waters. But whatever we have, we can brag on, we can look at, we can glory in. We're very interested in these things. We glory in them. In our wisdom, our might, our riches. What does that mean to glory? What does glory mean as a verb? It means to boast, to praise, to celebrate, to commend, and to applaud these things. And we do it, don't we? And we do it to others. We commend others on how wise they were. Boy, you did such a good job. Oh, you're so strong. You're in a good position. You got your good job at work, didn't you? Look at all the riches you have. Look at all these wonderful things. You did great. You did great. God gave it, didn't He? God gave it. How quick we are to think we're being kind. It says in verse 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Don't let him praise it and celebrate it, commend it, applaud it. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. There are people that are wise. There are people of ability and position. There are people that have plenty in this world. And all of that is for our good. Do we see it as so? Or we cuss the news channels? We get frustrated by it. Worldly speaking, just because someone's rich does not mean they're going to use you. Just because somebody's strong doesn't mean that they're going to harm you or take advantage of you. And just because somebody's wise does not mean that they're playing an angle on you. The Lord gave those things. The super smart, the super powerful, the super rich. Are they not for the believer's good? Are they? There's a few of them in the news right now. They're all over the place, ain't they? Real rich, real powerful, real wise. Are they not for our good? Didn't the Lord put them there? Didn't the Lord give that for our benefit and His glory? We question so many things, don't we? Is it for God's glory? Shouldn't I just hush and praise Him for it? Wouldn't that be the wise thing to do? But the Lord of hosts, the self-existent one, says, don't glory in those things. The Lord may have placed those things in position. He may have gave people those things. There have been believers that have been mighty. Job was the greatest man of the East. David, Solomon, a whole mess of them. Joseph, he had a bunch of storehouses, didn't he? Packed full of corn in Egypt. Mighty men, men of power. But don't glory in those things. Don't glory in those things. Paul said, who maketh thee to differ? What'd you do different? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory? Do you know what I did for the work of God? Do you know what I've done for the glory of God? I ought to have better. I ought to do, right? Why am I glorying? Why do I have expectations? Who made me different? What do I have God didn't give me? If I can move a shovel, what do I have that God didn't give me? He gave me the muscles, gave me the blood that's in me, gave the air that I breathe, gave me the heart that beats. What a privilege it would be for me to use whatever the Lord's enabled me to do. Reasonable service, Paul calls it. Isn't that reasonable service? Why dost thou glory in it as if thou hast not received it? As if I just churned it up, picked myself up by my bootstraps. Well, I've done this and I've done that. No, I didn't. I haven't. I'm talking to me. That's what I'm doing. Preaching to me this morning. What do I do? I've received everything. Any wisdom, don't get proud about it. Don't glory in it. God gave it. Any position, any health, any power, don't boast it. Lord put you there. Any abundance. So neither it is he that planteth anything, nor he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. I put 40 sets of potatoes in the ground this year. The Lord's killed 5 of them already, and we'll see here in another month or two if there's any potatoes underneath it. If there is, he grew them. I just bent over and kicked dirt over it, and he gave me the ability to do that. Everybody, they will glory in something. We will look up to something. We're just going to praise something. We're going to applaud something. We'll promote something. We'll promote somebody. We'll commend somebody. Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? Oh, wonderful. We'll do something. But what should we glory in? What should we commend? What should we promote? Verse 24. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Here's what it's okay to praise. Here's what it's okay to applaud, to commend. Here's what it's okay to tell other people. That I understand and I know the Almighty God. I belittle that phrase. People say, I accepted Jesus. I made him my personal Savior. It's a mockery by someone who does not seek the Lord Jesus as Lord. That's a mockery. However, the Lord will make his people profess him. They will glory that they know him and know glory in him because of it. The Lord may send a strong trial to that child that's quiet, that child that doesn't tell others. Or he may send great ease and comfort, what the world calls blessings. But he's going to give that child of God a reason to tell somebody, I understand God and I know him. And I know him. Those times I've seen bullets flying. Grave danger at hand. Everybody else crawled on the ground. I said, maybe I want to get a little lower. And telling them, that's my job. Get over there. Move this way. And they said, what's wrong with you? I said, I understand God and I know him. I'm the Lord's. I'm a child of God. Why am I afraid of them bullets? I ain't afraid of that. Or on the other side of that. Other side of that coin. When business is a booming, anything you touch is gold. you don't advertise. People come to you for business. How does that happen? And why? I'm a child of God. I understand God and I know him. The Lord did this. It's his doing. This ain't my doing. It's his doing. And he'll do as he sees fit. And the armies of heaven and earth, under earth, it don't matter. He's going to do what he wants. I understand him. And, more importantly, I know him. I know him. Understand and know. Understand what? The holy God that is all wise. How smart am I? I'm nothing. I'm dust. I understand he's the only wise one. What about power and strength, might, health? He's the mighty one of Israel. Has power over all things. What about rich? I understand he is rich. And this whole universe is his. The cattle on a thousand hills are mine. So I wouldn't ask you if I need anything. I'm his. In a sense, all men are his. He owns everything. Everything is his. And he's rich in mercy. Possessions, he's rich. It's all his. He has all mercy. The only place mercy can be found is him, is in him. He's rich and abundant in grace, plenteous in grace and mercy, isn't he? Glory in that. You want to promote something? You want to applaud something? I understand who God is. He's all and in all. He's all wise. He's all powerful. All riches are His. To know Him is riches. But this understanding, it goes hand in hand with something else. We understand who He is. Who He is. But it also says there, and. Do you understand that? Do you understand there's a sovereign God? How many people in this county do you think would disagree with me on that? Now in action, in practice, they don't believe it. He does what He wants. He's all powerful. If the Lord saw fit to heal somebody of a sickness, He could do it. If He's willing, He's able. A whole lot of people think that, don't they? Satan thinks the same thing. The devils, the demons know that. They said, is this time? We know you're going to judge stuff. You can cast us into them swine. Why'd they say that? They knew He could. They knew He could. They knew His day was coming. But it says, and knoweth. Some people have an understanding of who the Lord is. We can grasp His names. We can go down the names of the Lord and understand that. And we glory in it. We praise that. But also, you who have a new heart. Here's where the difference is. We can promote that we know Him. We know Him. We understand Him, but we know. What's that mean, knoweth? Knoweth. That's to love Him. To have an intimate communion with Him. That's to be made one with Him. The Lord is all those things. People all around the world listen to somebody's old man talk. God's sovereign, He's on the throne, but, I know, but, or they despise it. Oh, I wish that wouldn't happen. How many times do I get frustrated in the providence and the will of Almighty God? That just crushes me. That crushes me. Understanding. Oh, but there's a new creation inside His people. There's a new creation. There's a new birth that takes place. And that incorruptible seed knows Him, loves Him, has communion with Him because it's one with Him. I hope this is made. I got the next message goes right with this. I'm going to blur them all together, but it's right. We're one with Him. Isn't that me boasting that I love the Lord? No. No, it's not. It's with this understanding He first loved us. I understand He first loved us. That's why I love Him. I understand He first knew me. That's why I know Him. He laid down His life for us while we were yet sinners. He lived for us. He died for us. And He intercedes for His people right now. I understand that in part, and I know it. I wouldn't have it any other way. I love it. I love it. I understand all those things are for my good and His glory. I understand He is the wise one, the strong one, the rich one, and I love it that way. He says in verse 24, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. You got your doctrine in order? It's a person. He knoweth me. What about him? What about this me he's talking of? That I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth. What's going on right now in this earth? Things are just, falling apart. Pestilence just run through, in a sense, for 2 years. Famine may be on the brink. This earth. The Lord is exercising loving kindness. He's exercising judgment. And He's exercising righteousness in this earth. For in these I delight. In these things I delight, saith the Lord. The Lord delights in these things. Have you ever heard someone say, well, now, if you do this, that'll make God happy. God wants you to do that. And stop doing this. And if you stop doing this, that'll make God happy. It always benefits the one that says that. Have you noticed that? Stop stealing gas out of my car or start washing my car. Something, right? It always benefits the one that says it. If you speak on behalf of the Almighty God of heaven and earth, I recommend you say what He says. I think that'd serve everybody better. You say what He says. What does the Lord say He delights in? What makes Him happy? What does He delight in? Exercising loving kindness. What does that mean to exercise? Does He pick it up and put it down? No. Does He jog in place? That means He creates. That's the same word in Genesis 1 when God created the heavens and earth, when God created the earth. He exercised. He created. He made. He makes loving kindness. He's the source of that. And He performs it. He's the source of loving kindness. And He performs loving kindness. You can be kind to someone and not love them. Do you know that? I was kind to a stranger that asked me direction the other day, and I didn't know him from nobody. I didn't love him. I told him the right way to go, gave him directions. But you cannot love somebody and not be kind to them. The Lord exercises, He performs, and He's the source of loving kindness. That comes first. Love comes first, doesn't it? Love does something. It does something. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. And it endures all things. Brother Bruce Crabtree, I put the article there in the bulletin on what love does. That's true. Paul told us that. It's a charity, love. It suffers long and is kind. It envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. It doth not behave itself unseemly. Love doesn't seek her own. It's not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. It rejoiceth not in iniquity. What the Lord tells us, don't rejoice, don't glory in our wisdom, our strength, our knowledge. Love rejoices not in iniquity, but it rejoiceth in truth. He's truth. Christ is truth, isn't it? Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And charity, love, never fails. It doesn't fail. It doesn't quit. Isn't that what the Lord said? My people, they'll love me to the end. If it's true love, it don't quit. Well, I'll do it next week. Maybe the foosball game's on. No, love don't quit. Love don't quit. Lord spoke through John, 1 John 4. In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. From that love, it's manifest in Christ. We see it. Christ coming to this earth that we might live. Herein is love. Not that we loved Him, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This congregation ought to know what that means. I said 255 times, Mr. Pope. That's the mercy seat. That's a bloody sacrifice. That's the accepted bloody sacrifice. That's where God will meet sinners. And He sent it. He provided it, didn't He? John 13:1. He loved His own which were in the world. He loved them unto the end. Why? It's finished. All the way. What about now? To our end on this earth, He loves His people. He delights in exercising judgment. I thought of Ezekiel. Three times there in Ezekiel, the Lord tells us He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. How do you sort that? It just landed on your plate. How do you digest that? He delights in judgment. He said, I delight in exercising judgment. But He says He doesn't delight in the death of the wicked. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord. Wherefore turn yourselves and live. Tells them to repent. How could He delight in judgment? He delights in justifying His people, in declaring judgment, in executing judgment, in exercising judgment on His Son, His people on His Son. He removed all condemnation. He removed all judgment for those that He loved, those that He had loving kindness for. That was Him exercising loving kindness. It's Him exercising judgment of His people in His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Because of that love, He gave His Son. And the judgment for those in Christ, those He represented, it took place on Calvary. The earth was dark for 3 hours. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, the delight that was set before Him, endured the cross. He went and took our judgment. It delighted Him to do so. What a thought. Is that love? Is that love and kindness? Boy, we don't know what love is, do we? We're learning. He'll teach us. Despising the same, and He sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. It's finished. That love and kindness that He delights in, oh boy, He showed it. He manifested it. That judgment He delights in, He's finished that judgment. There's no condemnation right now for His people. Never will be. There's no judgment for us. How could a just and holy God exercise loving kindness and judgment? How can that be? He can't wink at it. We understand that in our court systems. We all want to be part of the good old boy. We hate the good old boy system unless it's time to be a good old boy. Then you want to be a good old boy. if one of our children had a heinous crime committed against them, and that judge said, you know what, I'm just into mercy. I feel like forgiven. We'd protest and storm the courthouses. No! Justice! You ain't just. You're crooked. That's why them cartel members and all that, they like a crooked judge. They ain't afraid of them. They're scared of the one that sticks by the law. How can our holy God that must do right, He is just. How can He do that and still be loving kindness towards us, still show us? How can that take place? How can all this come together? It's because it was exercised. It was performed. It was made. It was created by Him. The source of it is in righteousness. Righteousness is how. He delights in exercising righteousness. How is righteousness exercised? In Isaiah 53, where did this justice and mercy seat meet together? It was in the person and work of Christ Jesus, the Lord our righteousness. That's what we'll see next hour. Perfect judgment, perfect justice, perfect holiness was maintained. Love was showed, justice was satisfied, and that met in Christ our Lord. The Lord delights in Him. He's the Lord our righteousness. He delights in exercising Him. Said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. It pleased the Lord. He delighted to bruise Him. What a thought. I got chill bumps just reading that. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed. Who's He going to see? You. That incorruptible seed Christ puts in you, dwells in you. When He put His Son, when it pleased Him to bruise Him, when He put Him to grief, when He made His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His people. He shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days and the pleasure of the Lord. The delight of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall My righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. By His knowledge. You understand Him? Do you love Him? Do you know Him? I understand who that is. I understand. I got a handle on God. Really? Do you like Him that way? As He declares that He is? As He is in reality? I wouldn't have it any other way. Does that puff it up? Puff up? Well, that don't. That humbles us. What was the cost of me understanding Him? What was the cost of me knowing Him? He had to lay down His life. He had to know me first. And He had to do something about it. He had to exercise loving kindness. He had to perform judgment. And all of it was exercised in righteousness. Here's why I think Paul was just read this. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 1. No. And I'll close. 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 26. 1 Corinthians 1:26. For you see your calling, brethren. Do you see your calling? Your understanding, your knowledge? How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, and not many noble, not many rich are called. Aren't you thankful? It doesn't say not any. Aren't you thankful it doesn't say not any? Not many. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, those things that aren't noble, the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, they're nothing, to bring to nothing, to naught. The things that are noble. Why? That no flesh should glory in His presence. Are we glorying in Him? The Lord told us what glory is, isn't it? We understand Him. We know Him. Why? Because He knows our frame and He loved us first. We got a handle on that, don't we? He had to do it. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Let him glory in that one that's loving kindness, that one that's satisfied judgment, and that one who is our righteousness. That's what we glory in. I have no shame. I am unashamed in times of great sorrow or times of great benefit to say, I'm exactly where I am because God's on his throne. I understand that. I love it that way, and he loved me first. Is it so? In pain and in pleasure, is it so? I pray it'll make us that way. All right. Father, thank you for this hour. Lord, thank you for your word. Allow it to be fresh to us and new, and allow us to see the work that you perform, that you exercise. Lord, and teach us to be loving and kind. Allow us to walk in this world as children that are free, your children, as children that know God. Lord, forgive us for what we are. Forgive us our sin. Be merciful to us as you promised you will be. When you look upon us, look upon your Son. It's in his name that we ask it. Amen. All right.
Well, back at 10:30.